Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 18th, 2022. Today is Friday in the second week of Lent. Our reflection today is drawn from Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 17 through 49. This passage of Scripture is collectively referred to as the Sermon on the Plain, and it largely parallels those chapters in Matthew that scholars refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. But Luke's sermon that Jesus gives is a bit more sparse, a bit more direct, but it has the unmistakable quality of the ethical teaching of Jesus, which is a connection to what we read earlier in the Gospel with John the Baptist's ethic of baptism. I'm not going to undertake a full exegesis of this passage, this Sermon on the Plain. Indeed, there were a couple of sermons that I preached on it back in Epiphany, because we read passages from the Sermon on the Plain during the season after Epiphany and before Ash Wednesday. However, today, as I was rereading this passage, there was a question that really called me up short, and it is in verse 46. So Jesus has been teaching for a while, and then he asks this rhetorical question: why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Now, he is preaching to his disciples and a great multitude of people, according to Luke's setting. But most scholars think that he is speaking mostly to the disciples, and the crowds are essentially overhearing what he's telling them. So even at this point, early on in his ministry, Jesus has been teaching his disciples. Remember, yesterday we talked about disciple being a student, one who comes under the discipline of a teacher. He's been teaching. He's been telling them things. He's been giving them directions. And here we see a bit of frustration. Why do you call me Lord? Why do you call me Master? Why do you call me teacher? And you don't do what I tell you to do. Well, that's the human condition, isn't it? Why don't you do what I tell you to do? Why don't we as Christians do what Jesus tells us to do? Now, immediately preceding this why question, we've heard all of the things that we're supposed to do. We've heard that we're supposed to love our enemies. We're supposed to turn the other cheek. We're supposed to do good to those who hate us. We're supposed to give to everyone who begs from us. We're supposed to do good. We're supposed to not covet. We're supposed to not judge. All of those really pretty direct and clear activities are also activities that are exceedingly difficult to do in real life. How many of us can mentally get the language? We understand what Jesus is saying when he says, love your enemies. But in practice, how to do that, and how difficult it is, and how sometimes we don't want to. Forgiving people, we know that is what Jesus would have us to do. And sometimes we just can't resist holding a grudge for years or a lifetime. Not judging? Man, right now in the context of social media, judgment is what many of us, it's a guilty pleasure. We know we excel in it, and we've got plenty of opinions that we're willing to share. Interestingly enough, right after this judgment is the only other why question in the entire sermon. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things I tell you to do? The only other time Jesus asked why in this sermon is, why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but don't notice the log in your own? We're easily fascinated, easily entertained by criticizing others, being able to narrate their shortcomings, being able to explicate all the ways that they don't live up to our standard. But we resist turning the watchful eye upon ourselves to see the ways in which we fail to live up to the standards we proclaim for our own selves. Now, this is not meant to impose a bunch of guilt, but I do think that Lent provides us an opportunity, maybe, hopefully, to reflect a bit more deeply on what it means to live according to the gospel. So many of the collects in the prayer book are directed toward living quietly. And I don't believe that those collects are about living passively. Rather, they are getting at something that I think is lost in our current frenetic world, where there is noise upon noise upon noise, a cacophony of clamor. We need to be quiet. And I'm not talking about quiet verbally. We need stillness in our lives. We need reflection time in our lives. Because I believe it is in cultivating an interior quietude that we become more keenly attuned to the challenges of living consistently with Jesus' ethic. To be sure, none of us are ever going to get the 100% mark. Most of our Christian walk is about becoming more and more sensitized to the ways that we constantly go off course. But I think some inner quietness, some time for reflection, would help us maybe disengage the log out of our own head, cease fault-finding with others, and begin to cultivate a spirit of gentleness wherein we might be a bit more predisposed toward forgiveness, loving our enemies, being generous. It's worth a thought or an attempt, isn't it, to not just call Jesus Lord on Sunday morning when we say the creed, but to try to live like Jesus is Lord through the week. And living like Jesus is our master requires, yes, requires that we do what he tells us to do. And sometimes those straightforward opportunities are the most difficult ones to engage with. But it's still there in front of us. We're still offered the invitation to live Jesus' words. Toward the end of this chapter, Jesus says, this is what it's like to live according to my words. It's like building a house where the foundation has been dug deeply and laid on rock below the soil. To have a foundation in Jesus' ethic, to have a foundation in living according to the things that Jesus says, that's to live a solid life. A life that will stand up amidst the floods and the winds and the vicissitudes that come our way simply by living. It might not be a bad thing to spend some time in quiet, to ask the Lord to help us live the words that He has given us, to help us dig our foundation and build our lives upon the rock of His teaching. And maybe the place we began that work, maybe the place we began digging that deep foundation of stability in the life of faith, maybe that begins with some intentional quietness. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first He suffered pain, and entered not into glory before He was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.